Hi, TJ, are you on?
I am. Hey, Bill, how are you?
I'm doing okay. What color is your hair today, sir?
Oh, it's purple. Still the same color, so.
Cool. Thank you again for all your help last week.
Sure, absolutely. Happy to do it.
Cool.
I'm just about done with the minutes. I'm just waiting for Lee to send me a couple of, I had a couple of questions about what he said, so.
None of it was good.
Yeah, so I thought I should make it into the notes, so. And then, so do you make agendas for the executive committee? And if so, do you have
Yes.
like the last one so I could see it?
So
Or
I don't have them because the way that it's been done is they've been embedded in the email, and so in the like
oh,
calendar
I get it.
site, so I don't have them as a standalone thing. But a standing item might be a member spotlight, contracting issues, budget advocacy, dues,
Okay.
for some folks who are more interested in spending money, we have a holiday party.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Somebody looks a little too comfortable there. I'm just saying.
Should I remove a pillow? No,
No, but if you pull up a teddy bear, then it's all over. Your professionalism is gone.
had that going for me.
Yes. It's crazy when we started taking classes online, kids would show up in their bed, like pajamas, and my teacher was fine. Like, and you had to have your camera on and speak during class. And my professor's kind of like, okay, why doesn't everybody shut their cameras off today except for TJ? And like, had to put out a dress code to be on class.
You're the only one not in your PJs, TJ.
No.
TJ, no PJs. Well, luckily I'm not in a bed. I am actually just in my living room this time.
We'll give it a couple more minutes, and then we'll get started.
Leon.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, Chuck.
Hey.
This group hasn't met in like what, in almost 2 months now?
Yeah, it's been, we skipped last month.
Yeah, all blurring together.
Hi, Maria.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Irma.
Hi.
We're just waiting on one more person. So I'll
Okay.
give it till 3:03.
I don't know if any of you guys saw the New York Times, but some possible bad news on the overdose prevention center front where, some DOJ person was like, oh, we're thinking about closing that down, so it's, it looks like some rookie that maybe spoke out of turn, we're hoping, but basically saying it's illegal unless they change the laws, it shouldn't be allowed. And he's like a DA, even though four DAs in the New York boroughs have all approved it. This person just appears a year and a half in with the completely contrary opinion. So more to follow, but given the ridiculousness that we're dealing with here with the supervisor that I will not even name, whose idiocy and belovedness of law enforcement is really becoming farcical. And his comparison with AIDS is highly offensive to anybody who actually lived through AIDS and the kind of solutions that were being floated by crazy right wingers. Where, you know, it's just bad time for drug users, not just HIV, obviously, but for overdose. Scary times.
Okay, Kira, we've got enough, right?
Yeah.
I got that then. Before recording.
Yeah, I knew that, yeah. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started. We'll do introductions. Let's start with TJ.
Hi, everybody. TJ Liniaki, committee member.
Paul?
Hey, Paul Harkin, community member.
Matt?
Matt Geldmaker, council member.
Na?
Hi, everyone. Na Lee, council member.
Irma?
Irma, council member.
And then we'll start in with, go ahead, Bill.
Bill Hirsch with the AIDS Legal Referral Panel.
And Maria.
Maria Lacayo with HIV Health Services.
And Beth.
Beth Neri, also with HIV Health Services.
And Manuel, just in time.
Thank you. I had the other link and was in a room. Manuel Vasquez here, co-chair.
Who did I miss? Oh, yeah. Kira.
Kira, council staff.
And Crown.
Hey everybody, David Crown, council staff.
All right, so let's review and approve the August 8th draft agenda. Can you pull it up real quick?
All right, here it is. We're starting off strong with Beth discussing and going over the carry forward allocation. And then we'll have, we'll review the areas report. And then we'll see if John joins us. If not, we can just go over last year's Ryan White service summary sheets. And that'll take us to the end of the meeting.
Perfect. Anybody have any changes? If not, we'll approve that by consensus. There weren't any minutes for last month, so.
We do have the June minutes, though.
Oh, the June minutes. Okay, yeah. Go ahead and put those up then. Oh, that's right. I wasn't there. Yeah. So if anybody sees anything needs to change, just let us know.
It was a very short meeting.
Yes. All right, if nothing needs to be changed, we'll approve that by consensus also. Next, we'll go into announcements. Is there anyone with an announcement? I don't see any hands this time. Very unusual. There's no public. So we can, what?
Is that Bill public?
Bill, yeah, Bill Hirsch is public.
Oh, that's right.
Hey, Bill like Hirsch.
I'm public.
All right, I'll let you be public this time. Then we can go right into the carry forward. And who's going to do that, Maria?
Nope, sorry, I'm happy to do that. I forgot that
was Beth, you. Beth, okay.
I was working on it just very recently and somehow slipped my mind already. Kira, are you going to screen share or would you like, okay, great.
Yeah, I can screen share.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that way I can see people. And questions as they come up. So interrupt at any time with this proposal. You guys are familiar with a lot of these line items. Most of it is stuff that has been proposed in the past, what the council has done in the past. A little bit of it is new. But what is mostly new is this first top framing part where we have a lot more money than we normally do. There have been some trends over the last few years since COVID and with like the, I'll call it the light decimation of the healthcare workforce. You know, all workforce is having some trouble, but essentially what is happening is that there are more vacancies on our contracts. So there are some unspent funds at the end of the contract year. This is last year's contract year. And normally we're well within the 5% of allowable Ryan White Part A funds. Usually it's about 2.5% a year. This time it's closer to almost 8% or more. We had applied for a waiver, so we aren't going to be penalized for going over the 5% unspent because we knew this was a possible issue given employment situation in San Francisco. So the main thing that's different about this time is we have a lot more funding to work with. So we could propose more new things and try more new things. But in addition to the economic things that influence there to be a lot more funding available, there's also a lot more need for emergency financial needs assistance and food. So that's where most of the funding is concentrated. But as background reminder, sometimes Mark Molnar handles this, but some process things are, you know, you guys have the authority over how the funding is allocated by service category, both at the outset of the year and in our grant applications. And now when we have this unspent money to reallocate. So we have this opportunity in August to, you know, take the bucket of unspent money from last year and spend it now between now and the end of February, subject to several approvals. The first approval is this group needs to finesse this budget to where you want it to be. Like you can add categories, take off categories, change the funding amounts before ultimately voting on it this month at the full council meeting on the 28th. So then you vote the whole proposal and it's due for us on the 29th. So we'll put it in the electronic federal database or EHB the next day. Then we have to wait for HRSA approval to say we can do each of these line items. And they do actually occasionally disallow some of the things we propose. And the lens that they bring to that, so we try to anticipate that and not propose things that they're likely to decline because then we just don't have another chance to spend the money. Usually, although last year they let us move something when they declined it, which was new. But the things that they want are they really want one-time things. So they don't want us to just be like, we're hiring a new ongoing doctor with this temporary four-month money. So anything that's not one-time, they might disallow. So things that cover short-term things, especially current events, are best. They have to fall within current service categories that we fund. We can't start a new service category through this, I believe. And then there's just things that they've approved typically in the past and lessons we've learned. So as you ask questions, we might, you know, have memories. And let me just check, because I think John just texted about whether he's able to come. Okay, so I think he's not coming for the leader. I'll just say that Maria and I are here. Okay, pardon the distraction. Okay, so to the point of so the process is today, you guys are, the membership committee, I think, was canceled last week, so they didn't have an opportunity to see this. Usually it goes to every single HCPC subcommittee and you guys each review it. You get a presentation from us or the council staff saying what's the initial idea, and then you can make amendments or changes, and then somebody, I think, moves to support, and then you guys vote on whether you want to support it or amend it, and then it goes to the next committee, and they can do the same thing over and over until it gets to full council, and it can still be amended at that point before the final vote is called. And you guys are, of course, allowed to go to more than just this meeting. You can go to each of the other meetings if, you know, you don't get something incorporated now that you want to, or if you have new ideas between now and August 28th, you can introduce them later. There is, of course, a chance we will have new ideas too. Bill wanted to mention we sometimes have new ideas later in the month, but we did do some research in the background. So we think this is all the ideas we have at this moment. So to the proposal itself and the amount of money available, the regular Ryan White Part A funding, there's $834,390. And for the MAI, Minority AIDS Initiative funding, which has more limitations on how it can be spent, because we only have one service category there of medical case management, that one is $227,429. Altogether, we have $1,061,819 to reallocate. And then any questions about the process before I go into what the specific line items that we're proposing are?
No. I do want to mention something really quickly. Just so everyone knows, this technically will be a recommendation moving forward and through all the subcommittees. So once it gets to full council, since we are in person, we will take an official vote on it. And that was it.
Thank you. I had one other thought, but I lost it. Okay. It might come up. Okay. I guess it's gone. All right. So we'll start at the top. So the first and largest, they're mostly arrayed by dollar amount, except for the MAI is at the bottom, is we're recommending $350,000 additional dollars be allocated to emergency financial assistance grants. So these are the grants that clients, all Ryan White eligible clients, are eligible to receive at least once a year. And the demand has been up for the dollar amount, both in terms of the number of awards needed and the amount needed in the award, like the average award amount has gone up. And there have been some instances where it used to be a pretty firm maximum, but since we've had some carry forward dollars and a few other supplemental sources of funding available not through HIV Health Services recently, there have been some cases where they also cover like move-in costs for people a little bit more than the normal maximum. So larger amount of funds can make both more grants available and more usually housing stability related things of larger grant sizes are occasionally available too. And I might take questions one by one first and then at the end. So any questions about this one or ideas or about the quantity of money or anything like that? Manuel.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify. So, I mean, just looking at this, this would also, the emergency financial assistance grants, that is also a service that PRC provides, right? Like with their emergency financial program, is that the same thing or is this different?
That's the thing I forgot to mention a moment ago. We are not allowed at the council to talk about specific agencies. So we keep it to service categories. So some of our service categories, we have multiple providers and this money might be funded across multiple providers. Some of them, we only have one and it will definitely go to that one. And sure. Some of them, there are multiple providers and it still won't go to all of them, usually because they don't all have capacity to administer it. So there's some, and there's occasionally contractual constraints because and this is more detailed than we usually get, but since we only have a few months to implement this by the time HRSA approves it, there's some contracting things we can't do. Like we can't start a new contract and some contracts are like so close to their maximum that we can't actually add to them. Mm-hmm. So there, we've researched some of those background constraints already. But yeah, we don't necessarily usually intend to create entirely new programs, but we do, I believe we've checked for almost all of these that there is agency capacity among our contractors to do this level. I will admit for this particular one, we wouldn't advise you to increase the amount because there are some capacity limits on how much can be administered by certain programs. Uh-huh. And like that's a significant amount of money and a significant number of, you know, about $500 grants. So it's a lot of administrative work to do in 4 months. So that particular one, if we raise it, we may or may not be able to spend all of it.
Okay. I think my question was answered, but on a follow-up of that, so you can't necessarily discuss which agencies, but once the funding is allocated, we can be transparent about what agencies got the supplement, right? Because then how are people supposed to know where to go?
I mean, as a city, in a freedom of information sense, yes, absolutely. But at the Planning Council, we don't usually, unless the like one or more agencies are giving a presentation, I think we in HIV Health Services try to stay silent on that.
Well, the reason I ask is because working in housing, I'm very aware of which have money and which are kind of communicating with clients a little more restriction around that money. Mm-hmm. So it would be helpful in terms of guiding clients or referring them to know which programs got a supplement or which ones are pretty much out of money, you know, because again, a lot of it's around housing cost.
I think we just have to figure out another way to do that. We probably wouldn't do that through the Planning Council. We'd probably do that through the provider network. And this is another aside, but we are thinking about holding like our first ever annual providers meeting this year for all of our contractors thinking about late September. We haven't announced it yet. Because we had an EHE audit recently and they want us to do a little more ending the HIV epidemic broad messaging in the city. And we also wanted, this is actually the thing that inspired that idea of how much carry forward money there is. We want to be sure to message to agencies in advance that, you know, right now we have a waiver for going over 5% unspent, but that's not normally true and it can't actually impact our ability to, like, if we fall above that in a year we don't have a waiver possible, then we could lose grant funding in the future. So we do want to let people know about that 95% spending goal or above is actually quite serious. And so we want to give a little technical assistance about planning around that, and like, in order for us to reallocate with our contracting system, we would need to know early in the year if people had long vacancies and expected to underspend by significant amounts. So we're going to do some education that will keep these dollar amounts down in the later years. but maybe that's a venue where we could say where there might be more capacity in the network. I think we'd have to think about it a little.
Okay. I appreciate you thinking about
it. Certainly in your other role in MOTD, we can definitely tell you.
Great.
And maybe we can tell you and I just don't realize. So okay. Maybe yeah, I might be wrong. Yeah.
Cool.
So I've got a quick question, Beth. Sounds like you folks are, the team's done the research. Just, is it, so would you say you're highly confident at that rate that we won't leave money on the table? That, you know, because like, you know, you just never might leave money on the table with such needs out there.
Right. That's the maximum. So highly confident would maybe be a little strong. They would not be sad if we gave them a little bit less than that. It's just when we have carry forward funds, that's the most, at least from my perspective, I'll speak for myself, that's the most like, that can help the clients with the broadest set of like one-time issues that come up. So we often aim as much funding there as possible, and then the council decides. So I'm not 100% confident they could spend that our system could spend that amount, no.
Okay.
I'd say like 70 to 80% that we could spend that amount or get close. But I will say that there are some improvements since the last year or two in how the allocating emergency financial grants across funding sources, like the agencies don't only get Ryan White Part A funding or carry forward, like, and the way they are managing it currently, they know that they're very aware of their weekly spending rate and projecting. And, you know, like this was a thoughtfully reached number. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely from the never give a penny back school. So,
yeah,
you know, if it meant to take a little bit off of that and put it in another pot that is absolutely going to be spent in.
That would be a reasonable choice.
Rather than risk, you know, a couple of briefcases full of C notes going back to the government. You know, I don't want that ever.
I'd say among the things showing on this page, that's the most risky one to go under.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah. Appreciate your transparency.
I don't remember what's on the second page entirely. I'll let you know if I change my mind. TJ?
Just to kind of follow on with what Paul was saying, do you have suggestions for some categories that we could slip money into from these ones that we're not 100% confident about? So like with emergency planning assistance, if they can only spend
food. The food provider hasn't gotten back to us of a maximum amount they could administer, but they could easily administer what we first proposed, which was a little bit under this. The constraint there is how many HIV positive clients have a need for food beyond. Like certainly they serve other clients and can absolutely use money, but we don't want to set them up with deliverables that they can't reach because this money all comes with additional deliverables. But for me, when I had to make a slight revision just before this meeting, and food was the one I was going to give more to if I needed to, you know, like but it added up okay. So I didn't, but technology support could possibly also be increased. I don't know by how much. Food and technology would definitely be possibilities. I wouldn't give more to vouchers, which we have lower down on MAI because we already have a very high amount. We do spend that much annually, but I wouldn't give more to vouchers than we have proposed. Yeah, and Maria may have other thoughts too, which she could share now or as we come to more things.
No, I agree with you, Beth. Go ahead.
Okay, number three, technology to support hybrid psychosocial support groups and telehealth for mental health services. So this is ideally to support both psychosocial and mental health services. And we talked about this last year. And actually, this is one where we originally in HHS proposed 15,000 and the council raised it to 30,000 because they wanted it to be a real pilot. And we weren't sure if we were going to do one agency or two for contracting related reasons. We only had time to do one because we got our carry forward approved very late by HRSA last year. So the one agency did do it for $30,000. They said that was a little bit more than they probably had to have. Like they spent it and they used it to the best of their ability, but some of the stuff they got was more useful than other of the stuff. And they shared those learnings from at least, you know, their particular rooms and types of groups. So we could either do four different programs at 30,000 if only four opt in from those two sets of services, or we could do up to eight with 15,000 or somewhere in between, depending on, you know, we have different sized agencies with different numbers of, you know, rooms to outfit for this stuff. So we would probably administer this rather flexibly unless directed otherwise. we've talked with at least one or two agencies, and the first one we talked to just jumped right in with a very specific list that was about 20,000 before that, you know, they need 10 or so percent indirect, or a little under 10% with Brightway. So I think it would be 20 to 30,000 per small agency. And the larger agencies often have already done this already. So I don't think there'd be any unique one, very big ones. So here we budgeted 120,000 fairly generously. We think that's enough, but we could obviously serve more programs with greater technology. And it's this, we feel like this is a good proposal for HRSA because it's very much one time and it's responsive to changes in, you know, the healthcare landscape, and social support is very, very important coming out of COVID. But we'll take any questions on this. Or Kira, could we see the next page perhaps?
Yes.
Thank you very much. So number four is $30,000 for to pay for the bulk of our website redesign. HIV Health Services started working on this actually quite a few months ago, but it's not finished yet. And if we enrich the amount of money available, we can probably do a better version of, you know, the paper-based resource guide where we had an online version that was essentially just a picture of it that we could update, but it was like a PDF picture. So it didn't really work super well in all formats. Like if people had an Apple phone or an Android phone or different sizes computers, it wasn't very technologically advanced. Yeah, TJ, thank you. I don't know if everybody can see TJ right now, but he's holding up one of our orange. And so we had red and orange resource guides in English and Spanish, and we will still do print editions. A lot of other EMAs have moved to more robust online systems where you have like drop-down menus of, I need mental health services. And then it says, these are the programs. And maybe even in multiple languages. TJ, go ahead.
So it's so funny. I actually use the guide today. I keep it and like write little notes in it and everything. And I've always been advocating well before when I was on staff about trying to get this more interactive. So I'm glad to hear about this.
Yeah, and so we are already getting it more interactive than it is with or without this funding, but we'd make it better with this funding, basically. Yeah. And we were fairly generous with the amount, so I wouldn't increase that one either. Okay, so next we have one-time support for additional legal service interns at $20,000. Here, this one is essentially sort of a one-time opportunity to bolster I mean, I think the real idea behind this from the HIV Health Services side is that there's just such an ongoing housing crisis that has legal implications. And there are also, you know, the end of eviction moratoriums, and there seems to be quite a lot changing on the legal policy side. So we're just thinking this would be a support to kind of mitigate that possibility. And we haven't fleshed this one out very far, to be honest, but that's our starting proposal. And this one we haven't talked directly with the agency about, although we know that they are open to it. But we haven't like talked about the details yet. Questions about this one? Okay. Next we have client incentive vouchers. This one is the $227,000 and $429. And this is from the Minority AIDS Initiative. The reason we're, there's essentially only one provider, how our budget is structured, who could receive this funding directly, and they don't necessarily need $227,429 and couldn't, like you can't temporarily staff up for 4 months. So as a result, we almost always propose to use the MAI funding and usually some of the other carry forward funding, but since it's so large, not this time, to support our voucher program, which is available to essentially all HIV health services providers. And it is used mainly by medical case management and some primary care programs and some other types of programs to help with client retention. And essentially like lots of parts of their program models. Like they might need to give clients taxi scripts to get to medical appointments or to get to regular even client like case management appointments. And so the types of vouchers we normally buy are taxi, muni tokens. We have enough of those. That's why it's not listed separately. From another funding source, and we have enough of also not listed here, farmers market. Safeway is the grocery store. We probably won't put that in the proposal for us, but that, I guess that's a vendor. Maybe I shouldn't say that one. Grocery store. And so there's some drugstores or a drugstore and one of the healthier fast food options, though there's a declining number of those available in San Francisco. So we don't purchase as many of those. And that number is on the high end of what we you know, we can't, that our program does use that many a year, but not a lot more.
Is there any difference to the way this is tracked from the regular incentives when you get additional, or is it still like, you know, tracking?
No, it's still very robust.
Okay.
So for on our side, it's very robust, like the purchasing, the policies, and the and then on the agency side, once they pick them up from HIV Health Services and their like allocations that's appropriate to the number of clients that they have, they then have to, you know, keep them in very secure ways. They need to get client signatures in most cases. Some agencies have a policy related to COVID where one or two staff members sign in place of client, but mostly it's client signatures. And they need to do it in ways that, you know, don't show that to other clients. So they all have pretty robust systems, and every single, we audit every single program. There's, I don't know, 20, 25, Maria would know the exact number probably. And we audit them with a like a 6-page audit tool and counting every voucher every year. It's still on hand. And no, none of that's the city is not relaxed about vouchers. So even Matt's, if we were,
got a question,
that's not an option. Matt?
Hey, Beth. So yeah. I understand, you know, that this is a higher than usual year, like you were saying, with the unspent. But I'm just wondering if you guys are looking at, even kind of traditionally, are there certain service categories that tend to be underspent just on a regular basis? And is that something that you would bring to us to maybe switch that funding so it wouldn't be
right,
kind of unspent, which is one-time thing, instead of ongoing, to kind of build infrastructure? So just to be able to move it,
yeah,
from one to another.
That's a very good idea, because in addition to the MAI and the Ryan White Part A buckets, we do also have general fund, which, you know, it's also serious to not spend that, but it's, but they won't penalize us next year, so it's not quite as bad. So we did think about that in a small scale. This MAI in particular is concerning to us. So we are going to propose, I mean, we haven't talked to anybody, but internally we're thinking about proposing a change in which, I don't know if the service category will change, so it may not come to planning council if it's the same service category, but we might make a change to the MAI, and we will, that's a good idea to think about it more broadly, and we should do an analysis of where else that was happening. There are one or two agencies where this has been a problem of late, and some a little bit longer, and we have provided some technical assistance, and we are going to provide some more broadly in the system.
Yeah.
But there's just, yeah, there's strict budgeting and, you know, the way people set things up. And some places have more vacancies than others. So yeah, that's a good idea.
Totally get it. You guys have many more contracts than we do. So yeah, I was just thinking though, if there's a way that we can not have to worry about it being kind of one-time costs, and maybe be able to move a little bit into ongoing for some of the agencies,
yeah,
to have more ongoing planning.
And that's a good idea to do sooner rather than later, because we will probably have a Ryan White Part A audit next year. And I remember our last one, they were very concerned about unspent funds, even though at that time they were like 2% and very much within the allowable amount. TJ?
So I'm just curious, like, I really love the idea of the one-time support for legal service interns. Has there been any thought given to trying to do interns like this to help spend the emergency financial assistance money down?
So much thought. So I don't know how specific I should be. Let's imagine there are a limited number of programs that do that. And they have been impacted by our repeated Ryan White Part A carry forward and some other one-time funding sources that have come, they've been kind of escalating over time. And that has been happening because the needs have been escalating over time. Meanwhile, in the unfortunate other direction, that program relied on volunteers quite a bit, in-person volunteers to do like client-facing work. And since COVID, this is probably not the only program impacted by that. There have been, let's say, dramatically fewer volunteers available to do in-person work. So that has created a little bit of a staffing crisis, making a possible bottleneck there. And that agency has worked very hard and has applied for actually external funding to cover that, because nobody wants that to come from emergency financial assistance grants. But the dollar amount there, one of the reasons why it's high relative to what they might be able to spend is the original cap was like 280 or 290, but we decided to recommend more EFA here and then more staffing likely on either the Ryan White Part A or general fund if their grant doesn't come through. So there will be a staffing increase probably within the next few months. I don't think doing it on the carry forward is the way to do it, just because, and that's why we didn't, even though the amount maybe went there to make sure to mitigate any decline in funding available to clients, the like staffing in short term, like that's kind of too short term for, it's a slightly skilled thing that somebody needs to do, parts of the work. So I think they're looking for a permanent solution, even without all the carry forward money, without volunteer support, it's pretty unsustainable. So they need kind of a permanent solution, not just to implement this carry forward alone. So it would make sense, but also they have, we have not as a system had luck recruiting interns for this purpose after kind of a lot of meetings and attempts and recommendations of like Chile and other things, like just nothing has quite come together. And it seems to be more of a staff role after the pandemic than it had in the past. I mean, there is staff, but some of the work had been distributed in different ways before that has not been possible of late due to no lack of efforts.
Thank you.
That's not to say there might not be other things with interns that we didn't think of, aside from EFA, you know? And
yeah, I just brought that up.
We didn't think that through.
Yeah, I just brought that up because I know, like, I'm the president of the Health Education Students Association on campus, and people are already asking us about part-time jobs or positions or internships and stuff. That's all. So
we have ideas. Let me know. there are available volunteer positions that we would love to connect people to. Maybe send me an email and I'll send you some details of who they could contact.
Sure. Thank you.
And we think it's very good and interesting work, you know, like, and it's very clearly helping people with great immediacy. So I think it would be a great internship. So now is the time where you guys can propose things that we did not think of, as well as changing the money, but maybe start with ideas that you've had, either based on needs assessment or things you've seen in the city. Yeah, we don't want to miss the opportunity to collect additional ideas before speaking more specifically about the amounts.
Does the staff by any chance have a list of the service categories? Because I don't actually remember them off the top of my head.
You mean like the sheet with the core and support services?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have that offhand, but Kira or Crown, do you have a copy of that, you know, from the prioritization exercise that people do?
I can try to see if I have it in my email. Give me one sec.
Matt? Oh, you might be on mute.
So I want to, for just clarification, I mean, shouldn't we... Theoretically, I could put forth a motion for us to accept this. Somebody could second that motion, and then we could discuss if there were pros, cons, whatever, and then we vote on it, correct?
I'm going to let Kira Crown answer that. That sounds right, but I don't know for sure.
Yes. So someone puts forward a motion. We have a second, and then I will do a roll call vote since this is relating to money.
Yeah. But after the second, we can still have discussion and everything, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to jump the gun, but I'm going to say I put forth a motion for us to accept these carry forward recommendations from Office of AIDS.
Before someone seconds, I will say that once it's recommended, it will be recommended as is. So we can hold off on the... motion if people want to discuss and make changes.
Okay.
But if otherwise, if everyone accepts it as is, then that motion can continue.
I'm confused, Kara. Are we supposed to second it so that we can continue the discussion? No. Okay.
Sorry about discussion, that. So motion. Once it... If there's a second now, then this document will be accepted as is. But if we decide to, and that can, and the discussion can continue, but the document will be accepted as is, and this will carry on to the next subcommittee. But if before the motion is seconded, or before, let's say, the motion is proposed, if we backtrack a little and you're discussing it and you realize you want to change some of the amounts, then after the amounts are changed, then we can do the motion. Because once the motion is proposed and then seconded, the document is as is.
But
and the funds stay the same.
But we can do friendly amendments and everything, which we've done before. So, so it doesn't stifle the conversation. It just starts moving us forward.
Yes.
So it can be seconded. That doesn't mean that we're going right to vote. That means that then we discuss the pros and cons of that. And if then if somebody has an amendment to make, then we vote, then they can make a motion to amend my motion and then a second and then before, and that can continue on until we finally decide we're going to vote on wherever we are.
Yes.
So I'm still putting forth the motion to accept the current recommendations from the AIDS office.
I'll second.
Now we can discuss.
I see a chat that Manuel posted. I don't know if those were things he was suggesting or if you could clarify.
Yeah, I'm just, the service categories. There was a question of what are they? And so I know they were looking, Crown and everyone, but I also Googled
Ryan those, White Part A services. We don't use all of them though.
Yes, I'm just putting it out there as ideas. Like TJ, I don't know if anything on that list strikes something for you, but.
I mean, what about linguistic services? You know, I feel like there's certain languages like sign language and, you know, other Asian languages that we could use based on the populations that we serve. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I don't think we fund that as a service category right now. And I know in talking with John about a separate thing, the ending the HIV epidemic carry forward request, he was giving us some instructions from last year and said that we couldn't start any new service categories. So I don't know for sure that applies to Ryan White Part A, but I think it might. And further, I think contracting wise, I don't think we'd be able to start it on the carry forward within this year. And additionally, we do require our contractors to have language capacity, but that doesn't mean there is an unmet need that we need to bolster and or pay for. So it is a requirement that services are made available in multiple languages, including sign language. So most of our providers have either language lines or capacity for the main languages that their clients need. But especially some of the smaller agencies, you know, they'll have to call in or video in for some of those services. But if we were to do it in a way that we could actually contract for it, it would be ideal if we could put it on the service category itself. Like if it was mental health, we needed more of language capacity in mental health. If we could put it under mental health and then specify that we want to spend it on enhanced language capability pilot, probably we would say to make it a one-time thing. It doesn't have to be mental health. That was an example. Like or it could be primary care or emergency specialized, any of them.
Another thing that jumped out to me is harm reduction. So health education, risk reduction seems to be a category. I don't even know if we fund, like Beth, do we have an understanding of, do we fund any of that right now with contractors?
It's the same as language capacity where we have a blanket requirement and people attest that they will use a harm reduction philosophy and have in their administrative binder and their agency's philosophy a policy. And then we provide technical assistance when we hear of instances of lack thereof or, room for growth. But I don't think we fund anything other than, and Maria may want to chime in on this. It used to be Part A funded. HRSA recently asked us to not Part A fund this from our administrative side, which is why you didn't see it directly here. The quality assurance program that we have, where we do trainings that are available to all the contractors and staff, and DPH staff too, who deliver services. Those trainings sometimes are on harm reduction or related topics. So that's just funded with general fund money right now. So I don't think we would want to propose that this year if it were trainings, because we've been specifically asked to remove that from our Part A budget. And our project officer is the one who asked, well, our previous project officer, So our current project officer didn't ask for that, but they're supposed they should think the same things. Although it's not a strict policy prohibition. That was an interpretation. So that one might be.
Yes. So, and yeah, Beth is right. Like she said, that we are going to be starting up those trainings for agencies, and harm reduction is definitely one of the topics that has come up as a need for more training and assistance with that.
Mm-hmm. We do write it into our RFPs, soon to be renamed RFGAs, as a requirement of all service providers that they have harm reduction policies and follow that philosophy. I think the Department of Public Health as a whole may require it of all contractors. Though there are a lot of concerns as well that are not yet fully resolved in other parts of the system mainly, but not entirely.
Yeah, I'm just gonna jump right in and also ask about, like, so I don't know if any of you recall, but probably about 4 years ago, there was like an HIV AIDS summit. It was held in the East Bay in, I want to say in Berkeley, or it was the East Bay Sutter Health. But I'm really interested in that. And I know that was funded kind of through DPH or maybe Ryan White. I'm not even sure, but I'm just interested to hear from other people on the call. Is there any interest in that? I thought it was really good. I presented, but I had just started in my role and now I would love to present. but I thought it was also really great at bringing other jurisdictions together to really discuss what's going on and what are the needs. I don't know if that's of interest for this group or if we could allocate money towards that, but it just popped into my head.
I don't think that fits under any of the service categories.
Right.
And I think that was DPH money or state money that paid for that.
I think it was state, although we can consider ideas that you raised today that won't work well in a Ryan White Part A because we expect them to be declined, or their rules that they, you know, just like very specific rules. We are likely to have general fund unexpended money for the same exact reason. We just, that is 4 months behind, so we don't have an amount yet. So there may be an additional amount of money that needs to be reallocated in the future. That doesn't necessarily directly come to the council, but we use the same, it usually was very small until recently. And we bought vouchers, you know, like there wasn't much reallocation going on previous to last year was the earliest we had a more significant amount. And we didn't start any new programs with it. I'm concerned we might have more this year. So maybe ideas that can't be funded here, we could still take back to at least the HIV Health Services Group, as ideas.
Yeah, and I appreciate that because it could be somewhat of a one-time fund, right? I mean, we're kind of filling out how often we want to have it. The last one was 4 years ago, so it's not required, but it might be helpful to use money that you're concerned about, Beth, as it, you know, grows.
Yeah, I mean, I will say one effort that we're being encouraged to do more aligned planning with is the ending the HIV epidemic. So it might, and we do have carry forward money there too, although that's close to being all planned. But in terms of like how to bring people together, like the state's bringing people together around that. And, you know, there's also the statewide integrated plan. I'm not sure I'm going to get the right name of, you know, the plan's coming soon to the council to get more detailed. But like there are a few things that we could possibly hook into, and there used to be some cross-bay collaborative things. So it depends how local we want to go or how statewide we want to go. I think it'll take more time.
Yeah. That would come out of admin support. So that's you're not going to want to do that with any of this carry forward stuff, because then you're basically saying we don't have a need to provide direct services to a person. So that's, and it would be outside of the out of the EMA and a lot of things. So that's,
yeah, we wouldn't, I think, if it's anything outside of San Francisco, even though Marin and San Mateo, like, but we give them their money first, you know, like it's separated off the top. So if it's outside of San Francisco, we would only consider general fund. And it, so then our mission is, you know, for the city and county of San Francisco, people living with HIV, improving quality of life and health. So since there is so much movement between these areas, improved coordination of services is important. So there might be an argument to do it with general fund, although it's also a big administrative endeavor and we're still a little understaffed. So that could also be a barrier in terms of timing of when we would want to pursue that. But we will, we'll start by talking internally about it and see if we have any ideas of ways to do it where we could like not overwhelm ourselves. And it's not that we couldn't, and also just having money doesn't mean we can pay people. Cause it, like the contracting is so hard. So we couldn't just like be like, let's stay at a Hyatt in Oakland. You know, it would have to be a collaboration with somebody we're already doing business with. So we'd probably hold it in San Francisco, you know, stuff like that at a CBO partner or something like that. We'd have to be pretty creative in how to do it, and maybe more creative than flexible is how I'd characterize that.
Okay, if there's no more discussion, then let's move on with the vote.
Okie dokie. So since the motion was proposed already and it was seconded, I'm just gonna go through roll call. All right, I'll start with Chuck Adams.
Yes.
Matt Geltmaker.
Yes. Wait, Paul, I'm assuming yes means we're accepting it.
Yes.
Yes.
Paul Harkin. Paul Harkin.
Sorry, yes.
Okay. Nali.
Yes.
TJ Lee Miyake.
Yes.
Irma Parada.
Yes.
Manuel Vasquez.
I abstain.
Thomas Noble, I don't think they are here. Guillerme Stelet, I also do not think they are present. Okay. That is it. Then this document will be moving forward as a recommendation to the next subcommittee.
Great. So moving quickly on, next is the Aries report.
That is me too, with a strong side of Maria if I get tired.
Okay.
It's Floor in real life. Sure. She's going to do it. But we're starting with slides from last year. Maria, with the help of Matt and Nat, who've already given the Marin and San Mateo data very generously quickly, the data has been pulled, but it hasn't been put into charts and tables in the presentation yet. So we're starting with last year's. Usually the Aries presentation has, let's call it, a lot of stability and changes incrementally. So essentially, if you think one of the slides should be done differently this year, we would change a slide or any of the slides, or if you have any global suggestions, you know, like just let us know what you want to change from last year. That's why we're starting with last year's. So the data is not new, it's a year old data, but the format is likely to be very much the same unless you recommend we change it. And shall I screen share that one? Let's see, 1 second. Let me make sure I'm screen sharing the right thing. Okay. All right, can people see this well enough?
Maybe. No.
No?
No? Oh, then I probably didn't hit the last button. Okay, I'm gonna try. Oh, it's Zoom, that's why. It's more buttons to hit. Okay, so still not the right thing. How about that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, and I can't see your faces, so please verbally say your questions and comments. So the scope of this presentation is all of the Aries data, which is for all of the HIV funded services, Ryan White Part A, B, C, ending the HIV epidemic, all those grants, as well as the local San Francisco General Fund, which, you know, mostly originates from Board of Supervisors add backs to replace lost Ryan White Part A over time. So we look at that data all together here. So it's everybody served under one of our contracts or MOUs. And San Mateo and Marin provide their data directly. So our first slide, I'm sorry, this is too big to fit on the page. Our first proposed slide is giving some information about Aries, what the acronym stands for, and its main purposes. Our second slide is, similar to what I just previewed, like the date range. We are proposing our new one. We're probably going to do it for calendar year. So it'll be 2 months off cycle. It'll be 1/1/22 to 12/31/23. I did that wrong. Anyway, 2022 calendar year is what I meant to say there. Just because we have some data delays in the January and February data for Aries that impacts a lot of the data. So we want to go with accurate as opposed to perfect time range. So that is a small compromise we're making. So it'll be 2 months off cycle, but otherwise comparable to the previous years. And then it's a 12-month unit, just the most recent reliable 12 months. The funding sources will be all of them. There is a little Part D that we don't administer, but the data is included. And then there'll be a date that all this data was pulled. That date has already happened, unless they have to pull it again. Because if you, ARIES updates over, anyway, you want your date pulled on one data, so everything adds up to the same number. Because people can enter data late, very late. Not often, but it happens occasionally. Usually the total number of clients is around 6,000. And we have this chart, which we've tried to update over time, but that tries to give the sense of there are around 15,000 people in the DPH EPI data living in San Francisco, living with HIV. Not all of them are eligible for or electing to have Ryan White Part HIV Health Services funded services. So the people who are getting at least one service in the reference year are a little over 6,000 people. And then a subset of those people, greater than 3,000 usually, are receiving primary care at one of the sites funded through these programs. The reason why it's so important that this is a smaller subset is because a lot of the quality data later in this report relates only to the people receiving primary care or medical care, outpatient ambulatory care visits in the Ryan White language, because those are the only agencies that are required to enter a lot of the lab and STI screening and other data for that. Hopefully I'm doing this adequate justice. Maria, let me know if I have misstated
anything. Yeah, and if you get tired, I can
take okay. We have some notes on the data. I'll just get briefer, maybe, instead of getting tired. Mm-hmm. I'll get more summary. So then we'll have some notes on the data, just some background notes for a couple of slides that explain some of the oddities of ARIES data, so you'll understand the charts and graphs to come. Then there'll be the overall number of clients and a few details about them for all the eligible metropolitan area, then Marin, San Francisco, and San Mateo County to give a general sense of scale for each of those. Also, there are some clients who receive 3.5% of clients receive services in both San Francisco and or in two or more of the three counties. So there's a little tiny bit of overlap in the data. Then the slides we have, I'm gonna just pick one of these to go into more detail, maybe this first one. Current gender for EMA, there's a very small number of unknown in ARIES, 0.1% is stated up here. And then there's first a table for all of the EMA, and then there's the Marin, San Francisco, and San Mateo breakouts in pie charts. And generally speaking, you know, our clients are predominantly male, 83.5%. Next most frequent gender is female, 11.5%. Next most frequent is transgender, 4.8%. The reason why we don't specify transgender men or women here is just because the number of transgender men receiving services in this, like in reported here, is sometimes fewer than 5 and sometimes fewer than 10. And so we don't want to break that category out separately. Usually you suppress small cells, and in this case, we just consolidate. And then pie charts with each county's different breakout. It looks like Marin has very few transgender clients in last year. I'm not sure about this year. And San Mateo also has fewer than San Francisco. And Marin has, you know, more women, as does San Mateo. Any ideas or questions about this layout? Is this still a comfortable layout to receive the information from ARIES?
Yep.
Okay.
Beth?
Yes.
Just a quick question. So not for this presentation, but maybe going forward, is there mm-hmm. thought to start looking for current gender identity under like gender non-binary or gender non-conforming?
That's a good question for this moment. Something that'll probably make its way into this presentation that isn't in last year's presentation is that the state is replacing ARIES, which has had these fixed categories for a long time, which not just for gender, for race, ethnicity, and a few other places, housing status, in my opinion, is a bit out of date, the language, and sometimes suboptimal. And they are creating a new database at the state, which is an opportunity for them to rename some of these categories. And we have submitted a few questions where we've noticed, like there's an email address the state has to receive questions. And we did ask them about the housing status subcategories, whether some of those could be renamed. And we could submit one for gender. So maybe send, if you can, send Maria and I exactly what your suggestions are. And we have an email going to the state later this week and questions we have.
The other issue, though, that we found is that it does connect back to our reporting to HRSA. And okay. So we have to follow the categories that they have in the Ryan White Services report. But yeah, maybe there's a way of us being able to have some type of flexibility in the new system. But yeah, as far as I know, I think we still have to follow the HRSA categories for this.
Okay. Well, I mean, there should be a way to program it to give us specific information for California and then condense that information back into HRSA acceptable categories. That, I mean, that's just a programming thing. That shouldn't be that difficult.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we do with our San Francisco systems, like Epic. We program it, and then our external reporting, we consolidate. The state has not been as open-minded about that in the past, but that may be different now. So we should ask.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in case it is. But Maria's right. I think that was their answer to the housing question. I'll go back and review, but I think they said these are the federal categories. We haven't given up, but yeah, so maybe we'll re-ask the housing question when we ask the gender identity question. Any other questions on either gender slide or format of slide? Because there's about 10 more slides of this format that I'll be less detailed about. So this is a good time to talk about format. Okay. EMA by current gender, we tend to have like a 10-year bar chart. I know, so many words to say the same thing. I'm gonna call it bar chart. That shows mostly how stable things are. The only real, I mean, I guess the men as a proportion is declining slightly and transgender is increasing slightly, while female is pretty fixed percentage in the 11% to 12% range. So the populations are fairly stable over time by gender in our EMA. And then race.
Break it down by the three different entities within the EMA.
Do you mean by the counties?
Yeah.
So we have by the counties the like snapshot of the last year, but we don't have the EMA by gender for the last year. Are you interested in that?
I mean, I'm just kind of curious about it. Yeah, I was wondering if that might be dramatically different between each county.
So I think I hear you, TJ, but I know in San Mateo, one reason why I think we would have increasing transgender clients is because also a comfortability in people identifying as transgender. So I think you may see these numbers, but you can't draw any conclusions from, oh, this means more transgender people are accessing services. Maybe the same people, they're just identifying. Because I know that we have had, and there's no way to track that in Aries about when did somebody change their gender identity from male to transgender. So I hear you, but I just think that's a lot of effort. And I don't even know if we could do that, Maria, going back and pulling data from that many years back out of Aries, maybe, but it would be a lot of effort to really not, I would not make.
Right. I think the trend will hold still. Like if you see the previous one, I think it's pretty much been pretty stable across counties.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Matt. Mm-hmm.
And we have to get the Marin and San Mateo County data specifically from them. We can only run in San Francisco, the San Francisco specific or the EMA wide. Those are the only accounts the state would give us access to. That's just an additional piece of context. Okay, so race for EMA. It's the same format of the slide. And then it's just a breakout that shows sort of like the racial composition of the different areas. And it's pretty detailed, so I probably won't go into it now. Most likely race won't shift too much year on year, and it'll look pretty similar when we run this again. Any comments on this one? One thing I remember is multi-ethnic is trending up slightly, very slightly over time. So that may go up. Age for EMA, and this is one we have talked about a lot in the past in terms of how to do these age breakouts, and some of this is limited by the Aries report functionality. But right now we have the age range of 0 to 24 years, which as you can see here is a very small proportion of our clients at this point. And then 25 to 44 years and 45 to 49, 50 to 54, 55 to 59, 60 to 64 and 65 years and above. And this is broken out separately, largely due to Medicare eligibility, and some of our reports can break it out in that and some can't, but this one can. Questions or ideas about this one?
So Beth, that is one that we do, and it's further down probably. We do break
up. The age?
Yeah, the ages is something we can set the ranges to anything.
Oh, good. Yeah, I thought so, since sometimes we can't do 65, yeah. We can.
It was based on a planning council recommendation, I think, that we started breaking out from 45 and above every 5 years.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, those seemed like particularly good age ranges to me.
Yeah. So I know that, for the 65 and older, I know we have it broken out. I'd have to pull back up what we sent, but yeah, it's broken out into 5-year increments in the 65 and older even.
Oh, okay, great. So does this feel like enough level of detail to people on the call now for the final planning council presentation?
Definitely.
Okay, awesome. Okay, so federal poverty level percentage for EMA, 0 to 138 is most of our clients across all the counties. 139 to 250 is the next biggest bucket. 251 to 400 is another one. 401 plus, really the plus only goes to 500 because that's who's eligible. A few people may drip in above 500 because their data comes in after their services, but this is mostly 400 to 500. And it's a very small number of people. And that's pretty consistent, it looks like, across the counties. The green pie changes a little, but not by much. And 2.6% unremove has been removed, so the pie charts don't look funny. Is that a comment? Did I hear something?
Nope.
Okay. Current living situation for EMA. In addition to those categories that I kind of said I don't love the wording of, there is this second Aries field that is collected directly from clients. By providers saying stable, temporary, or unstable. So that's what's being reported here. So the number of people in stable, and this has been worsening over time, perhaps not to great surprise. The number of stable clients last year was 68.4%. People in temporary housing situations, 21.4%. Unstable as self-reported in Aries, 6%. And that it looks like San Francisco has the most unstable population, although Marin and San Mateo have much larger temporary housing situations. Any comments on this slide or questions? Okay.
Sorry, it's Matt.
No, go ahead.
Maria, what are your thoughts on, because you know how Beth, you're saying there's basically different types of housing that roll up into those three things. Should we have somewhere on that slide what are the things that roll up to be equal stable? What rolls up to equal temporary? What rolls up? Because I know right off the top of my head, I can't even remember them.
Well, I think now actually it's not rolling up anymore. I think it's a whole separate question that gets asked.
It rolls up.
But people can pick what they think is stable or what they think is temporary as a separate question.
Oh.
Okay. But we can look at that because I know that when you run the star,
when we run the star, it rolls it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, we'll double check how that works. And also, this is one where we have a higher number of unknown than most, 3.9%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we always aim to have fewer than 4-5% unknown for all of our fields, but this is trending towards that. It's just a little harder to get this data sometimes.
Oh, Matt, what you're thinking of is called living situation. So that's where it's like this huge list of rental housing, rented room, hospital, psychiatric facility. That's what you're thinking. That's living situation. There's another question that's housing status. That's the stable, temporary, or unstable.
Right. This slide saying living situation. I'm just looking at
this. Oh, so maybe
we might have titled it incorrectly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking happened right now. But we'll look into the details because something's not right.
Housing status then. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna star that one. Okay. Thank you guys for helping to figure that out.
Say real quick, basically what happens in Aries is that there is a whole page that's called living situation and it has the three different options where you can either select like Nah was saying the type of living situation, or you can select the stability scale, they call it, which is how this is being reported, which is permanent. But there is a report, like Matt was saying, that does look at the living situation specifically, and we'll roll it up into. But we just reported based off of the stability scale for this report, you know, page. But we can look and see if it, you know, makes sense to also show you the detail of each one. Is that what you're saying, Matt? That you would want to see the breakout?
No, because when I send this Excel spreadsheet floor, it's the Aries living situation, and it breaks it. So it lists like board and care assisted living, participant owned housing, rental housing, and rented room roll up to stable permanent. And that all comes out of the STAR report.
Okay.
So that, and that's what this is.
Okay. Got it.
So that's what I mean. So just
list the different options
at. Yeah. So stable, you know, what stable permanent means in Aries is those things. And then like hospital, jail, prison, living with friends, transitional housing, those are all the temporary ones.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's
because I made that note, Beth.
That's what goes into this slide, is that piece off of the STAR report.
Yeah, it is from the STAR report.
Yeah, we'll either kind of shoehorn it into the slide, or we might make a second slide that
just say in the dictionary. What does stable mean? What does temporary? What does,
and maybe even before we get to the slide, say like these are the categories, and then
sorry, I didn't mean to derail us.
No, that's helpful. Yeah. Okay, so, well, now we get to our hardest slide that nobody ever loves and we haven't made perfect yet. Insurance status for EMA. Again, we have a slightly high 3.9% unknown that's removed from the table or the chart. The thing that's very confusing about this one is you can enter all of the insurance that applies to the client, and it can change within the year, and all the insurance categories that they fit in within the year show up here. So it adds up to much greater than 100%. So a very small 9.4% have private insurance of some type, 28.8% have Medicare, 64.8% have Medicaid, 30.2% have no insurance, which can include Healthy San Francisco, which is not technically insurance. People who have other coverages that are potentially relevant, 61.9%. You can see how that's more than 100%. So this is our best way of presenting this information so far. What are people's thoughts?
Yeah, I always feel like that slide. I remember Ken always used to get so confused on this slide. And it's like, you can't make any, this is like a mishmash, unfortunately.
Yeah, like he wanted details like medi and things that are very important and relevant, but just Aries can't do and they don't just report in those ways. Yeah.
Do you think that we should keep this slide? Do you think there's still any, like, you know, benefit to reporting it, even though it does add up to more than 100%, because people do sometimes have more than one, you know, option in their year?
Well, and I know I'm coming at it from a whole different viewpoint because I've lived this for how many years. So I think if we took it out, unfortunately, I think a lot of people on the Planning Council would be like, well, wait a minute, why wouldn't we have this? Again, I think it's just always those caveats that we have to put out as to.
Okay, yeah. So there is still some benefit.
I feel like it should, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember in the evaluation after last time, and this is on our Aries notes, so we remember a year later, we were asked to do a Q&A section at the end, and this was one of the slides in particular they wanted us to have in the written version of the slide presentation, in case anybody saw this out of context, like not at the meeting when Flora and Maria presented so well. So I think we did plan to, I should have mentioned earlier, we do plan to do a Q&A for the slide deck. And this is one that we are probably gonna include some Q&A about.
Mm.
Yeah, and any other things that stand out to you like that could be confusing to somebody reading this out of context, we wanna add so people could read it out of context, because it is posted on the website. And sometimes council members can't go to a certain meeting. Okay. And now we have another series of even prettier pie charts with no tables. EMA, so this one, there's a transition here. This was all demographic and categorical types of information. Now we're going into, we're getting closer to quality data. So this is EMA antiretroviral prescription by race. So this shows, like, the red is how many people from each race, at least according to Aries, don't have prescribed ART on their records. So for example, it's 2.2% of the clients identified as white. We'll fix that. I think it's 3.3% of the African-American clients, and so on and so forth. So it looks like multi-ethnic is the largest proportion that have either missing ART data or aren't yet prescribed ART. So that's what this slide is about. Any questions or suggestions about form here?
And it's only looking at clients that receive primary care services.
Yes, maybe we should highlight this in the future because I missed that right now. Okay, just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Highlight that note. And the other thing I'm thinking right now is there are no ends on this. Like the number of people who are, you know, white in the EMA, that's elsewhere in the presentation, but not here. Are people okay with that? Or do you want like a N equal to under each of these? Because that's one reason maybe this looks higher, because I remember it was like 200.
Yeah, I think because it's only looking at primary care, we didn't want to throw people off where
it's a different number. Yeah, I see.
You know, but we could. I mean, we have the information. It's just that we know that this is only looking at those 3,000 clients that we initially had on that page, you know, not the full 6,000. So a lot of times people would have questions like on why the number was smaller, just, you know, kind of remind them this is just primary care. But, and then I think just less busyness on the slide, but we can add it if people want.
I think, what
people think that would is be perfect good. Or does it need ends? I mean, there could be in between options, then perfect. Did somebody say that would be good to add it?
Yeah, it was me, Beth. Sorry. Okay. I just feel like every year somebody wants to know that if we don't have an N under something, and it would be really good. And even though it's only for part of the, mm-hmm. the people receiving services, somebody's going to ask that question.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. Okay. And if it's too busy this year, we can take it off next year too.
Yeah.
I have a question. Yes. Primary care, is it folks that received a primary care service from a provider that provides primary care, or like, because we have like a provider from Part B that provides primary care, but then they've listed units for primary care under primary care Part B, but also under a non-Ryan White services funded. So is this for folks that have been funded, or for folks that just have any UDC in Aries? Because for us, it's different.
Maria, I think it's any UDC in Aries. What is the real
question? I mean, I don't know if you have other funding sources you're saying that are not the ones we listed that are adding services in Aries, because we are only looking at general fund, Part A, all the parts like we mentioned, and EHE. So if it's like a private contract or something like that, we don't pull that for this. So
it would be how you have your contract set up in Aries. If you have it under a Ryan White, so it's pulling that by art is only pulling if it has a Ryan White funded outpatient ambulatory health services primary service category,
and we
pick during that time frame.
Yeah,
okay. I did tell them to record it under non-Ryan White services.
Yeah, so then it
created a new contract for them. Okay, good.
Oh, okay,
yeah. Sure it's how you have your contract set up in there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. Any other comments on this one?
No.
Awesome. EMA ART, so same outcome, but by age. It looks like everybody last year under 24 had the prescription, and the biggest red slice is 45 to 49. So this is another one we could break out by those same age brackets that we saw before. Some bolding is needed there, but is this still an okay format for this information? And maybe we'll add the ends?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna just add to my list, I'm sorry. Same information by gender. So add the ends is so far what we have. And maybe highlight this below. I don't know. We'll think about that. Any additional comments? Are we good for the next one?
Yes.
Excellent. EMA viral load by race. And here viral load is either 200 and above or under 200. So virally suppressed or not suppressed. So for example, this pie chart says, and we'll have ends later, of the people who identify as Native American, 94% had a suppressed viral load and 6% did not have a suppressed viral load. And I think we might, Maria, want to add a note about where no test falls in this. I think no test just isn't included, right? If somebody didn't have a viral load lab within the year?
I don't remember at this time.
Okay, we might want to just add a note.
I think unfortunately it gets plopped into the blue.
Removed.
Yeah.
I think when you run the star report, though, it kind of captures it as like not being undetectable, unfortunately. I can't remember.
Okay. So wait, can you say it again if it's not during, because this is actually from the star report. It could be that it wasn't during that reporting period.
Yeah, because what happens is I think the star report, I pulled up what I sent, like how I sent to. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, I think the no viral load test within the reporting range might be how you guys put it together, Maria, then, if you roll it into the blue or not.
Mm-hmm. That is how we would put it together. For QI, we always look at that as unsuppressed because we don't know for sure. So yeah, we'll just double check and we will either make it into three slices or we'll just say a note of saying these two are grouped this way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any other comments on this one? Okay, viral load by age. Here we had limitations on what we could break out. I think that's why we only have the four. Viral suppression rates are highest among the people over 65 and under 24, both at only 6% unsuppressed. And then the younger adult is the age that has the highest unsuppressed viral load. And that's been true for a while. Any comments on format here? So we'll add in ends, and we might make that same comment about how unknown viral or like no viral load test within 12 months, how that's handled. Oh, it's handled, right? It's noted right here. It's been removed.
Oh.
Sorry, I didn't see that. I was looking below, not above.
It's also just primary care services. Yeah. 8 clients that had primary care services.
Okay, yeah. We'll be sure to review all the top and bottom notes for these couple of slides because
mm-hmm.
I think we were focused on the visuals last time. Okay. EMA viral load by gender with a star, which probably goes into, unknown has been reviewed. That's how we were handling that.
Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, and then this is the same slide in the same format, and I think probably the same comments of add the N, maybe note this in a different way, and note the primary care. Any other recommendations or ideas for changes? And then FAQs that we had last year, I'll just read them all because it's kind of important. I know we're running low on time, so I'll be semi-quick but thorough. Is this data reflecting everyone who is living with HIV in San Francisco, Marin, and San Mateo? And no, this data is only reflecting clients that receive services through Ryan White, EHE, and general fund funding. Second question, why is the ART and viral load only based on the clients that receive primary care? Answer, ARES requires primary care providers to enter viral load from a verified lab for their clients. Other providers who do not have access to a client's labs can't enter this data. Similarly, medical providers also collect ART, prescription information for all of their clients or on all of their clients. Why do the insurance percentages add up to more than 100%? Oh, it looks like we already did this. My memory's faulty. The reason this data field does not equal to 100% is because clients can report more than one type of insurance during the reporting period. So the fluctuations can also impact that. Any questions? Contact Floor or Maria. We might update this to be just Floor. Both Floor and Maria have changed jobs slightly since last year. But Floor is taking primary responsibility for the time of the ARES database with help from Maria and answering people's questions. So we might include updates on their roles too somewhere in this presentation in case not everybody's heard. And Floor is helping implement the HIV Care Connect database for us locally. Okay, so I'm going to stop screen sharing so I can see all of I'm going to try to stop screen sharing. Let me see if I can pull that off.
Thanks. Great. Thank you, Beth.
Thank you very much. Do people overall feel like that's the information they want to receive from the Aries presentation and it's enough continuity with last year, other than the slight 2-month move? Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Maria, and tell Floor thank you for gathering all our information.
Thank you. Go ahead, Paul.
Thumbs up.
Oh, okay.
Thumbs up.
All right, next we're going to move into the Ryan White service summary sheets. And
yeah, so I can, so John isn't able to join us today, but I can quickly just go through last year's service summary sheets. It's a really big presentation that he usually goes through.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah, of course.
Because of the layout, the format is the same exactly for each category. Why don't we just go through like 4 categories, show how it is, and then if there's questions about the format, we can make changes that way. Because the information is going to be whatever he's gotten and he's going to fill in the blanks. Does that make sense?
So not through the presentation?
No, I want you to do like 4 of the categories and just show the example of how it's working, how he's going to do it so that we can see the flow of it. And then if there's any questions about doing the format differently, that's where the questions could come in.
Okay, I'll go ahead and can everyone see this?
Mm-hmm.
I can't see you, but
yes.
All right. So this is from last year. This is just the table. And you want me to go into which one? The categories?
Yeah, just go into the categories and do like 4 of them and show the how they're going to do it. Since he's not here to give the new information, it's going to be the exact same format as last year with just different information. So we can see if we have any questions on the format, basically.
Okay. All right. So this is the category prioritization. So this is similar to what TJ was asking about, kind of the categories that we go through. And let me actually do it this way. So this is just budget information. This is a layout. So let me start with budget then. So I think this is pretty self-explanatory. It just has different pie charts to explain the different funding summaries. Then for demographic information, something similar. There's age, housing status, poverty level, and so on. Then the core services. That one's pretty long.
So what Chuck was saying, if you go, so like primary medical care, non-COE. So if you click on each one of those with the map, it looks like there's 2 pages for each service category, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so I think that, Chuck, that's what you were meaning, is just go through like 4 of the 2-page things because they're the exact same format for each of them.
Right.
The information is what's going to change.
Right.
So you go through these.
Yeah, so start like with the map one and then the graph one.
All right.
That's each service category.
All right. So this is mental health services.
And Kira, do you want me to do a little of the walkthrough that John sometimes does?
Yeah, if you can.
Okay, sure. Yeah, so if we could start on the first page of any of them. Yeah, the mental health services is great. So basically on the first page, there's sort of some narrative and framing details. So the priority number here is the council's priority number for last year. So mental health services was prioritized number 1 in that year. Then the next is HRSA core service category, the official name of that, mental health services. That one doesn't diverge from what we call it locally. A definition of the service category, which you've seen many times before, so I won't read. Then the program description here, in this case, it looks like there are 4 programs that we fund, which is essentially different agencies. that we have different contracts with. So I would venture to say we have four different mental health services contracts that fall under this service category. And there's a narrative description that's anonymous from the agency perspective, but it says like what target population and what neighborhood they serve in most cases, and might give some sense of whether it's a huge program or a small program. So taking that first bullet point, program for persons living with HIV/AIDS who are multiply diagnosed, homeless, out of treatment, women with children or families, youth, people of color, transgender, low-income, previously incarcerated, and immigrant or undocumented individuals located in the Mission. So this is a mental health program located in the Mission that serves a broad array of people, it looks like. And some of the programs are much more targeted than that. And then the map just shows like where the services are available to clients, like what part of the city those services are available for in. And then on the next page, here is some data that is specific to the service category. So what we were sharing in the AERS report is for everybody receiving services, everybody. So this is everybody receiving mental health services. And I think for the EMA, I think for including San Mateo and so this is just for San Francisco, Matt?
I believe this is only San Francisco, yes.
Okay, yeah. Pardon my misstatement, thank you. So of people getting, that makes sense because we get the invoices for only ourselves and that data is on here. So mental health data here. So from our own invoices from those four programs, which may have more than four invoice sets, we contracted for, it looks like just shy of 20,000 units of service and we received just shy of 17,000. So we only received 85% of the expected deliverables. Something John always says is that we truncate the data. So we may have received more than that in real life if some programs overproduce the 100% of their data, but we don't show that because then we would never see if other programs went under. And then for the budget, it looks like the unduplicated clients, actually, I'm sorry, that's still deliverables on the right. We contracted for 1,441 clients to receive mental health services. And we received last year, which was still impacted by some COVID-related things and some vacancies, especially in mental health service provider. Only 1,131 people received services. So that's 78%. That's unusually low for something for us. And then the budget is this service category is 53% funded by Part A, 53 by general fund, 47 by Part A, and allocated expenditure. So it is the staff vacancy. So not only did they not give all the deliverables, they didn't spend all the money. They only spent 86% of the money. That's where some of that carry forward money came from. It was very hard to maintain and fill vacancies in mental health providers recently. And then in the bottom half, this is demographic information. So very similar to what we were just looking like. It looks like 80% of clients receiving mental health services were cisgender men, 12% cisgender women, 8% transgender women. And then next pie over, racially composition. 42% were white, 22% were Black African American, 23% Latino, and then much smaller percents of other categories, and which I just don't know I'll track colors correctly, so I'll wait till John presents next year's data. And then the next one here is age. So it looks like the bulk of the clients were ages 45 to 64. The next biggest category was 25 to 44. And then the next biggest after that was 65 plus, with very little, fewer than 1% of the clients under age 24. Although from our AERS presentation, you may remember only about 1% of our clients are in that age range. So this is how they're all set up. And the report overall is organized first with all the core service categories and then all the support service categories under the Ryan White definition. I'll turn it back to Kira.
All right, yeah. So does anyone have any feedback? I'll go ahead and stop sharing now.
Looks great. Right.
Yeah, so does anyone have any?
Go ahead. No, it's taken John like several years to come up with this format to where it works, and it works really well because the information's coming the same from year to year. And it's clear and concise. And any of us that have been around a while, we can look at it and go, oh yeah, last year I remember doing this or that. So I think the format works great for this particular for us. Go ahead, Kira.
I was just asking for feedback, anything that we can relate to John. All right. Well, hearing nothing else then, thank you so much, Beth, for taking that on as well.
We'll let John know. It's a go.
Great. All right. So the last thing we have is the next meeting, and that's going to be September 12th, 3 to 4 p.m. on Zoom. So if anybody wants to comment any more on, I think membership moved their meeting to this Wednesday. If I'm not right, I think that's right.
This Thursday.
This Thursday, okay. So if anybody has any more comments on the carry forward money, that's the time and place to go and talk about it. So if there's nothing else, then thanks for a great meeting and you all have a great day, all right?
Thanks, everyone.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye. Bye,
thank everyone. You. TJ. Bye.